Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, November 16th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We're picking up in Acts chapter 19 and we'll read verses 1 through 20. The title in my Bible says, Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Did you notice in verse 9 that Christianity was called the Way? This is not the first time that Christianity is called the Way. Back in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, Paul is on his way to Damascus, also known as Saul, and he is headed toward Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the Way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners. Now, we remember that that's before Saul's conversion. But here in Ephesus, Paul is preaching, and there are others who are obstinate against him because he has become a follower of the Way as well. I love the image that is connected with this word. Perhaps Christians were called followers of the Way because Jesus was called the Way, the Truth, and the Life in John 14 and verse 6. Also, in the previous chapter, Aquila and Priscilla explained to Paulos the way of God more fully. Peter uses this metaphor as well. He says that Christianity is the way of truth, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And then the writer of Hebrews also says that Jesus' broken body is a new and living way for us to enter the most holy place. So I just thought that was really neat that the way was the term that designated the group of people who had begun to follow Jesus, that his way was the best way, that he has made a way for us to enter in the most holy place. And I want to pray that, like in verse 20, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power in Acts. I want to pray that for us as well, that in our day and time, that we as followers of Christ would walk in his ways and that he would bless it and that his word would spread widely. Okay, let's move on to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 18, but we're only reading the first half today. We're reading verses 1 through 19. For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstorms and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Wow, that is a great verse to end on. He rescued me because he delighted in me. You know, I tend to want to look at the Bible and see ethical things that need to change in my life. That, okay, I need to work on this, or God needs to change this in my heart. But this is clear in this passage that David knew that the Lord delighted in him. And I don't think it was because of his ethical behavior. I think it was because David found the Lord to be his rock and his fortress, and that he took refuge in the Lord. And the Lord delights in us when we are a people who show dependence upon him. He is our shield and our horn. He is our salvation and our stronghold. He wants us to call upon him. He is worthy of praise, and we are called to praise Him, and we're also called to be in relationship with Him. And ultimately, that was just a good word for me to hear, that we, His people, are a delight to Him. Not because of what we have done, but because we have placed faith in Jesus by His grace, He delights in us. Okay, let's move over to the book of Nehemiah. Today we are reading Nehemiah chapter 7 and starting in verse 5, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Now, Wayne and I have been talking about how difficult it is to read a list of names, and I wish I could just say Bob 212, Jimmy Joe 652, names that we understand. But there are a lot of names here that are unfamiliar to us. Nonetheless, this is the Word of God, and I'm going to do my best and just stick with me. These are the people who returned from the exile. So my God put it in my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. I found the genealogical record of those who had been the first to return. This is what I found written there. These are the people of the province who came up from the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town, in company with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Remiah, Nehemani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispereth, Bigva, Nahum, and Bana. The list of the men of Israel, the descendants of Parosh, 2,172. Of Shephatiah, 372. Of Arah, 652. Of Pahath Moab, through the line of Jeshua and Joab, 2,818. Of Elam, 1,254. Of Zattu, 845. Of Zakai, 760. Of Binui, 648. Of Babai, 628. Of Asgad, 2,322. Of Adonikam, 667. Of Bigva, 2,067. Of Adin, 655. Of Adar, through Hezekiah, 98. Of Hashum, 328. Of Bazai, 324. Of Harif, 112. Of Gibeon, 95. The men of Bethlehem and Netophah, 188. Of Anathoth, 128. Of Beth Osmaveth, 42. Of Kiriath Jearim, Kephara, and Beroth, 743. Of Ramah and Geba, 621. Of Michmash, 122. Of Bethel and Ai, 123. Of the other Nebo, 52. Of the other Elam, 1,254. Of Harim, 320. Of Jericho, 345. Of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 721. Of Sinah, 3,930. The priest, the descendants of Jediah, through the family of Jeshua, 973. Of Emer, 1,052. Of Pashur, 1,247. Of Harim, 1,017. The Levites, the descendants of Jeshua, through Kadmiel, through the line of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the descendants of Asaph, 148. The gatekeepers, the descendants of Shallum, Ater, Talmon, Akub, Hatita, and Shabiah, 138. The temple servants, the descendants of Ziha, Hasupa, Taboath, Keras, Sia, Padon, Labana, Hagaba, Shalmai, Hanan, Gedel, Gahar, Reah, Rezin, Nakoda, Gazam, Uza, Pasea, Besai, Meunim, Nefusim, Bakbuk, Hakupa, Harher, Basluth, Mahida, Harsha, Bakas, Sisera, Tema, Niziah, and Hatifa. The descendants of the servants of Solomon, the descendants of Sotai, Sophereth, Perida, Jalah, Darkan, Gedel, Shephatiah, Hatil, Pokereth, Hazabiam, and Ammon. The temple servants and the descendants of the servants of Solomon, 392. The following came up from the towns of Telmaha, Telharsha, Kerub, Adon, and Emer, but they could not show that their families were descended from Israel. The descendants of Deliah, Tobiah, and Nekoda, 672. And from among the priests, the descendants of Hobiah, Hazak, and Barzillai, a man who had married a daughter of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called by that name. These searched for their family records, but they could not find them, and so were excluded from the priesthood as unclean. The governor, therefore, ordered them not to eat any of the most sacred food until there should be a priest ministering with the Urim and Thummim. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Nehemiah had found a genealogical record, it says in verse 5. This is probably the record that I read from Ezra chapter 2 back on October 25th. So if you listened on that day and you listened today, you got to hear those names twice, although I may have pronounced them differently. Anyway, this is just a reminder that genealogies were so important to the people of Israel. Think about the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. What does Matthew do? He sets out with a genealogy, a record of the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he begins with Abraham. Abraham is the father of Isaac, and he goes all the way through the line, even mentioning Zerubbabel, whom we met in this book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and he goes on down to Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to stop and say thank you for entering into human history and becoming one of us, for taking on the name of a family and becoming an heir to the genealogy of Abraham. We also want to thank you, Lord, for the power that comes through your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would empower us even today to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. We thank you that you are our rock and you are our fortress. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.